The gist. Even though young people arguably face the biggest burdens, virtually all ME/CFS and long COVID studies focus on adults, and treatment trials are almost unknown. Far past time, then, to do a deep dive into what we know about young people with ME/CFS and or long COVID. The first thing to know is that while the prevalence of ME/CFS and long COVID rises as we age, pediatric cases of ME/CFS and long COVID are not rare at all. From about the age of 15 to 17, on the rate of ME/CFS prevalence nearly matches that of adults. One survey found that 43% of patients contracted ME/CFS before the age of 18. In something of a surprise, the NIH's RECOVER initiative has recognized the need to study young people and is roughly devoting the same number of resources to its children and adolescent and young adult cohorts as it is to its adult cohorts. Two groups, the Chalder-Crawley Biopsychosocial Group until recently and Weiler's Norwegian Group, have dominated adolescent research. Since 2007, for instance, Weiler's group has published over 50 papers, and during a two-year stretch in the late 2020s, Chalder-Crawley published no less than 18 papers. No other groups have come close to that kind of publication rate. It's not clear why, but young children appear to experience fewer problems with energy and more neurological problems than adolescents and adults. Studies that have tried to predict which factors increase the risk of adolescent ME/CFS have latched onto two factors, immune and autonomic nervous system activation. One study, however, suggested that gut factors could go a long way to placing adolescents and young people at risk, while another found that poor sleep in the years preceding ME/CFS long COVID plays a role. A number of immune factors, impaired B-cell differentiation, altered T-cell activation, inflammation, often paired again with sympathetic nervous system activation that have aroused interest in adults have also shown up in young people. Studies suggest that while the HPA axis lacks flexibility, control of the autonomic nervous system is too loose, leaving adolescent systems wired but prone to collapse when put under strain. Similar findings have shown up in adults. The sustained arousal, Weiler believes he's found, is likely affecting the immune system. Tilt table tests suggest that, if anything, blood flows to the brains of young people may be more impaired than those of adults. Tilt table tests should also be done at a 70-degree tilt to pick up signs of POTS. Various problems in the reward and motivational regions of the brain, as well as inefficient cognitive processing, require adolescents to make a massive effort to complete cognitive tasks, could help explain problems with learning. Similar findings have shown up in adults. Higher levels of beneficial bacteria found depleted in adults may rescue some adolescents from more severe cases of ME/CFS and long COVID-19. But overall, their gut flora shows a similar mix of increased pro-inflammatory and reduced anti-inflammatory bacteria. Rowe's 2013 neuromuscular strain hypothesis, which proposed that movement restrictions in the tissues adjacent to nerves were causing pain, inflammation, problems with orientation, and muscle recruitment, and muscle contractions when adolescents attempt to move, brought new insights to ME/CFS. Similarly, Rowe's finding that an intolerance to cow's milk protein could, if not avoided, overshadow all attempts to treat young ME/CFS patients contributed an important dietary finding. The fact that similar autonomic nervous system hyperactivity, immune activation, problems with the motivational and executive functioning parts of the brain, cognitive challenges, sleep problems, and gut microbiome dysregulation are found in both groups is good news for adolescents as it suggests the treatments that help adults will help them. Few of the exercise studies or deep molecular dives that adult ME/CFS and long COVID patients have received have been done in adolescents, and there's much we don't know. Young people can take heart, though, that thus far their ME/CFS and long COVID looks very similar to that found in adults, suggesting the similar treatments might work in both groups. It's never a good thing for one or two research groups to dominate a research field, yet the Chalder-Crawley group until recently and Bernard Weiler's Norwegian group have largely done just that in the adolescent ME/CFS fields. Weiler's ability to produce huge studies, the likes of which ME/CFS rarely gets, is notable. But his dogged adherence to a definition so at odds with the rest of the ME/CFS field must, for some, undercut the validity of his findings. While Weiler promotes biopsychosocial aspects of ME/CFS, his stance towards the disease is grounded in biology. Weiler and company's recent assertion that, quote, persistent activation of the neurobiological stress response, accompanied by associated changes in immunological, hormonal, cognitive, and behavioral domains, end quote, is behind ME/CFS, but may be limited. But it is not illogical. His statement that, quote, our brain networks generate alarms in the form of symptoms such as fatigue and pain to warn and shut us down, end quote, seems to make sense in the context of hypersensitive microglia, aka Jared Younger, as well as evidence of increased alarm elsewhere, such as a turned-on cell danger response, NAVIO, ideas of chronic sickness behavior and impaired blood flows, mitochondrial disruptions, immune dysregulation driven at least in part by sympathetic nervous system activation, Wirth and Scheibenbogen. Despite what appears to be Weiler's rather remarkable ability to get funding, though, one feels he has not kept up with the times. His studies, while large, tend to be rather rudimentary, and omics, metabolomics, proteomics, etc. analysis are rare. While he's certainly correct that all treatment options should be allowed to be freely expressed, Weiler and company have ignored the findings from metabolic, mitochondrial, and exercise studies. His group's thesis that ME/CFS patients don't recover in part because they've been told they can't doesn't wash, given the hundreds if not thousands of improvement recovery stories now available to anyone who looks. A large Australian adolescent ME/CFS study focusing on the biological underpinnings of these diseases should go a long way to filling the gaps in adolescent research.